I really believe I've really got the message for tonight. And I want to obey the Lord and preach to you. Go with me tonight to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. I'm going to read verse 22. I'll work my way down to verse 30. Now, if you were here Sunday morning, I took three texts. The good news is we're just going to hang out in Matthew tonight and just preach a little bit out of here. When you get to Matthew chapter 14 and you get to verse 22, would you shout a big amen?
Amen.
If you said amen, or even if you didn't, I want you to stand and I'm going to read to you from the Word of God. How many believe this is the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I like this line. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Somebody say fear.
Fear.
But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. These few lines here has always intrigued me as an evangelist. But when he saw the wind boisterous, I get that, he was afraid, and beginning, this is the line that always captured my mind, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the word of Almighty God. Thank you for every man, every lady, every boy, and every girl that is assembled into the house of God. I understand that they didn't come to hear from Derek Stinnett, but they come tonight to hear from you. If there's anybody lost on a Monday night, I pray that this would be the night that they'd walk an aisle, kneel at the foot of the cross, and accept you as Lord and Savior. If there's any tonight that is discouraged in life, I pray that you would lift them above the waves and the wind. And God, you'd step on the bow of their boat and you'd speak, "Peace, be still." Do something on a Monday night that only you can do. I pray, God, there are people in this room that need to be spoke to, that need to be encouraged, that need a little push from the Word of God. I pray, God, now that you would do in our hearts what only you can do, and we'll give you honor and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, you may be seated in the house of God. Brother Carl, when I came to this familiar text, I began to think about the church, where we are in the church. And if I had anything I could tell you to start the message with, here's what I'd tell you. Get out of the boat and let go and let God. I got 5 amens and 2 nods. So I'm going to hit the rewind button and maybe let that sink in. I believe if there ever was a day that we got out of the boat and did something for God, we're living in that day. And so if you don't want to put that part in there of getting out of the boat, then here's going to be my sermon title. So you can write it down. And as I've told you the last few times, so that I can't come back next year and preach the same sermon. And I'm going to preach tonight, let go and let God. Let go and let God. It reminds me, Brother Tom, of the young third grade boy that his daddy was a preacher. It just is amazing that I've got a third grade boy. But this third grade boy heard his dad preach about Jonah and the whale. Jonah and the great fish. They got home that day and the third grader said, Dad, do you not understand? Daddy, I'm in the third grade. And do you think I really believe, Dad, that a whale could swallow a man? Daddy, I'm not so sure. You do know I'm pretty educated, and you do know I'm in third grade. And the daddy began to scratch his head, and he thought to himself, how am I going to get this over for my third grade boy? And he began to think about it, and we said, well, son, he said, don't you remember, Daddy, preaching that in the beginning God said, let there be light, and there was light. Do you not remember, Daddy, preaching about Jesus coming to this planet, willingly walking up a hill and bleeding and dying, and they brought him down off the cross, and they laid him in a borrowed tomb, and he lay there for 3 days, but he got up and conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he said, son, don't you think God could make a whale that could swallow a man? And the little boy said, well, sure, Dad, if you get God in it. Hey, I don't know about you, Brother Phil, but we need to get God in it. Boy, you get God in a revival, and you get God into singing, and you get God in the altar call. Would anybody agree? We can have revival if you get God in this thing. Well, I do have good news. I want you to look at verse 29. And I'm fixing to get right to where I want to go. But in verse 29, and I've told y'all at this church this before, one of the greatest things I love about preaching at Cornerstone is I don't have to worry that at 15 after 8 I'm in the pulpit after the singing. Now, everybody look up here. I love to sing. But son, if you give me the pulpit at 8:15, there's going to be some folks disappointed. Well, I better leave that alone. But verse 29, the Bible said, and I want you to notice it. It said, and he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see, Brother Bill, that Peter took a step forward and he took a step toward the Lord? I believe there are some people on a Monday night that you need to take a step forward in your ministry. You need to take a step forward in your marriage. You need to take a step forward in your job. You need to take a step forward in your vision. You need to take a step forward in your Sunday school class. Would anybody agree? We need to move forward for Jesus Christ. And here's what I'm going to do. I think that I got enough time. I'm going to give you 3 points. And here's what I'm going to do. Brother Mike, I'm going to give us 3 things. 3 types of people that need to let go and let God. Now, I'm going to make some of y'all real nervous. I'm going to preach point 1, but I am going to have some sub points. So I'm going to tell you right now, y'all look like y'all need some subs. And so here's what I want you to do. Go to verse 22, and I'm going to highlight some things some of you've already thought about. It says in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side. Here's what I want you to jot down. Brother Derek, who do you think needs to let go and let God? Number one, those who are struggling in the storm. I love the song. Those who are struggling in the storm. You need to let go and let God. Look at that word, family of God, in verse 22. It said constrain. Brother Carl, that word constrain means to compel by force. Do you understand that the God of glory, Jesus Christ, deliberately sends them into a storm? He knows, Brother Tom, that there's a storm out there, and he compels them by force. He constrained them to get on board the ship and go out on the waters. Let me put the jelly on the bottom shelf. He planned the trip. He planned the trip. Well, Brother Derek, I wish you'd talk to me about storms. Well, let me talk to you. Let me give you two kinds of storms that God's people, Brother John, will go through in their walk with God. Two kinds of storms that God's people will go through. Jot this down. Number one, you'll go through storms of correction. Oh, I knew I'd lose my amen. And then I said, you'll have storms of correction. Now, if you don't think God will discipline you, let me put it a little different. If you don't think God will take you to the woodshed, you got another thing coming. God knows how to correct his kids. And so I got to thinking about that. There was a young mama in the grocery store. She had her 2 or 3 year old little boy. Brother Frank, he's causing an A number one fit. Let me tell you what my mom and dad called it, a hissy fit. I mean, Brother Mike, a hissy fit. He's throwing stuff. He's crying. He's upset. He's mad at the world, and he's upset. And that precious little mama gave the classic line that most young mamas say, he's normally not this bad. You just go ahead and grin real big for me. He's normally not this bad. There was an old elderly lady that was watching that young man and that young mama, and she noticed that mom was doing everything in her power. She just almost begged that little boy to quit crying. She did everything she knew to do. And so I want you to see this. And so that mama's throwing a fit, or that baby's throwing a fit, and that mama's watching that baby. And that mama said, oh, ma'am, I apologize that my son's acting up. And I wished I'm so sorry that my boy's messing up. He kept doing it, throwing a hissy fit. Finally, that mama turned around one more time and said again, ma'am, I'm so sorry. And that elderly lady, that sweet, precious saint of God, said, well, ma'am, listen. She said, I'm going to tell you what she ought to do. Either give that boy what he wants or give him what he needs. Woo! That is preaching material. Either give him what he wants or give him what he needs. Pastor Carl, I'm glad I can look your people in the eye and tell them God knows what we need. God knows what Derek Stinnett needs. God knows what Tom Bout, y'all ain't hearing me. God knows what Bill Rogers needs. And would anybody agree, God knows how to correct his kids. Hallelujah. He will send storms of correction. Well, I don't have time. I'll just hit this one. I will not preach it. I'll let you develop your own thought. He sends storms of correction. And then jot this one down. He sends storms of perfection. I like that. Storms of correction. Storms of perfection. Well, Brother Derek, are you going to preach that? No, I told you I wouldn't, but I am going to tell you this. I'm going to give you two quick statements about storms. Well, Brother Derek, I thought you was done. No, look up here. Brother Derek, who do you think needs to let go and let God? Those who are struggling in a storm. Do you agree with me? We've got people in here, and I know you got your nice clothes on, and I know you come to revival, and I know you got a good grin, and you look real spiritual, but can I go ahead and tell you that there's a lot of us going through storms. A lot of us are going through some things that we are struggling with, but aren't you glad we can let go and let God do something in our lives? Hallelujah. Now, two quick statements. I'm going to hurry every chance I get. Brother Phil, here's what I want you to jot down. You cannot go around the storms of life. You cannot go around the storms of life. You have to go through them. If you agree with that, shout a big amen. Amen. Now, Brother Ron, I want us all to look at verse 24 in the text. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Everybody note this word in your Bible, tossed. Would y'all do me a favor and say tossed? The word tossed, Brother Mike, it said tossed with waves. The word tossed means torture. Blew my mind. The word tossed, Brother Tom, means torture. They are in the sea and they are in torture. It is a life and death situation. And can I go ahead and preach to somebody? Adrian Rogers said about faith, and I jotted it down. He said, faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. Hallelujah. Faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. Can I go ahead and tell you some of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in my life? The lights was out and things didn't make sense and it felt dark. And it's been so dark you could feel the darkness. And I mean, you just didn't know. But faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. But you need to know you cannot go around the storms of life. You got to go through the storms of life. Now, here's the number two statement. And I can't believe how fast I'm preaching. I'm pretty impressed. The second statement I'm going to give you about storms is you're not alone in the storm. Hold up. Woo! Why did you shout? Because nobody else did, and there was a shouting moment. You are not alone in the storms of life. Look at verse 23. The Bible said, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart, and listen to this, and when the even was come, he was there alone. And here's what I said, as I noticed in the scripture. Brother Carl, he goes into a mountain. The disciples are in the valley. They're in the Sea of Galilee. And the winds is rocking the ship. The waves is blowing the wind is blowing and the waves are crashing into the ship. And the Bible said they've rowed and told and they've done all they know to do. And Brother John, there they are in the midst of the sea and it's overwhelming. Jesus, Brother Frank, is on the mountain and they are in the valley. In the Gospel of Mark, it says this. He saw them toiling
For the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh walking. Hold up, I'm about to get blessed by my own preaching, and I got to hold up. I'm telling you, sometimes I'm like a machine gun. I don't ever let up and take breaths. So I'm trying to breathe right now and speak to somebody. Do you understand? The winds was overwhelming. The waves is crashing the ship. And the Bible said he came to where they were. Now hold up. You say, Brother Derek, what do you think about that? The Bible said, Brother Carl, he came walking on the sea. Everybody look up here. He could have flown out there to him. Well, I don't know about that. Well, he could have. He could have jumped out there to him. How come he's the Son of the living God? But he came walking on the sea. Here's where I'm going to preach to somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, they're down there in the valley. He's up there on the mountain and he saw them. And I love this line. And he came about the fourth watch of the night. Here's where I'm going to preach. How many want God to show up the first watch? I'll go ahead and raise my hand. Hey, and Brother Tom, if he doesn't come to first watch, I'll sign up for watch number two. Amen. And if he doesn't come watch number two, I'm signing up for watch number three. But he did not come watch one. He didn't come watch two. He didn't come watch three. He came the last watch, the fourth watch of the night, the darkest hour. Here come Jesus, Brother John, walking on the water. Now, here's what I want you to see. Would you agree with the man of God that water at this particular time was their enemy? The water was their threat. Brother Mike, he's walking on what they're worried about. He's stepping on what they're struggling with. I don't know how y'all can stay so calm, but you're doing good. And the very thing that was overwhelming them, Sister Sue, was under the Master's feet. Is anybody glad on a Monday night? You're never alone in the storms of life. Woo! If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. You are never alone. Family of God, it reminds me of the young boy. His daddy and mama wanted to get him a dog. One of those pedigree, one of those nice, beautiful, full-fledged. Where I'm from, they're just a dog. But anyhow, I mean, everybody, you know, I would tell you the name of my dog, but it always sounds like a cuss word. Little old dog. I'll tell you after church the name of it, but I'm really spiritual right now. Somebody... Come on now. But anyhow, this little boy, he wants a dog. And they bring out, Brother John, they bring out the best, the prettiest ones they had. And out comes, out of the litter, comes the little runt. And that little boy picks up the runt. The owner of the dog said, oh, don't let that little boy take that runt. He don't need that runt. And that little boy held on to that little runt, hugged on it and rubbed on it and petted on it. And they said, son, why would you take that little runt? He rolled up his pant leg and he had a crooked leg and he had a brace on that leg. And he said, that dog right there needs somebody that understands him. Woo! Is anybody glad on a Monday night? We've got a God that says you're never alone, and I understand what you're going through. Hey, is anybody glad? He knows what's going on in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Derek, are you ever going to go to point two? I'm there. I'm telling you, I'm there. Who needs to let go and let God? those who are struggling in the storm. Number two. And I hope you listen to me. I believe this fits most of us or some of us. Most of us won't admit it, but I believe if you'll let the Holy Ghost talk to you, He will. Number two, Brother John, not only those who are struggling in the storm, number two, those who are sitting in the back of the boat need to let go and let God. Do you realize there are 12 disciples on that ship? Would somebody amen that right there? And Brother Mike, you know in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now let's just get this straight. There are 11 other guys, Brother Phil, sitting on board this boat. Only one guy got up and stepped toward God. Hold up. Can I go ahead and just preach to us? There's 11 boys on that boat that have zero intentions of walking on water. They have no desire of stepping out. If this don't remind me of the church, I've never preached anything that reminds me of the church. Now, I wouldn't recommend amening a lot, but that is good preaching right there. I mean, everybody, and Peter gets up and he takes a step of faith and he takes a step toward the Lord. And let me just preach to us tonight. And I want you to hear my heart and not just listen to me, but hear my heart. Can I go ahead and tell you, sitting in the average Free Will Baptist church, Brother Bill, is people that have zero intentions of getting out of the back of the boat and taking a step toward God. They've been sitting in the same seat of stewardship since they got saved. Brother Derek, that's pretty good. Well, hold up. They're sitting in the same spiritual seat that they've been for quite some time. Brother Tom, they're sitting in the same seat of servanthood and they've never gained any. They've never walked any. They've never got any further down the road. Everybody look up here. Can I go ahead and tell you, God did not save you just to sit in the boat. God did not save you just to fill a space in time in a pew. God wants you to get out of the boat and let go and let God do something in your life. Woo! If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. Now, and I'm going to say this in love. And the good thing about being an evangelist, whether you say it in a love or not, they take it wrong. But I'm telling you, with all the love I have, I deal with people that have never stretched their faith. I sat there last night and listened to the conversation and I'm telling you, I've witnessed it. We've never dared stretch our faith to believe God for a miracle or believe God for a salvation or believe God to do something supernatural in our churches. But Brother Ron, I'm telling you, the same God that spoke this world into existence, the same God that opened blinded eyes, the same God that walked on water, the same God that does everything well. Do you understand? At Cornerstone, He's still the healer. He's still the deliverer. He's still the soul saver. And He wants somebody to take a step of faith. If you agree with that, shout amen. I want to tell you where we are, and I believe you agree. Why don't they get out of the back of the boat and take a step of faith? And why don't they accept the call of ministry? Brother Carl, I'm 41. When I was growing up, what always excited me as a young man, there were a lot of young men that were accepting the call to preach this gospel. I mean, they were accepting the call. Brother John, I had friends, I had family, I had guys I loved, and they were accepting the call. Today, Brother Phil, it's hard to find young men that are accepting the call. And everybody look up here so I can help you. He's still calling. He's still dealing. He's still speaking. But listen, many are not accepting the call. And I want you to do me a favor. I want you to jot this down. There are two reasons people don't step out. Two reasons. Number one, because they are fearful. Hold up. They are fearful. Because they are fearful. Put up on the screen Matthew chapter 14. Pull up verse 26. And when the disciples saw him, everybody repeat, look at that line. Saw who?
Him.
Walking on the sea, they were troubled. Leave that on the screen for a moment. Saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Can I go ahead and tell you that word spirit? And it's interesting, it is a spirit. That word spirit is a phantom. They cried out. Now, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, Brother Tom. They did row all night. The wind did blow. The waves did crash. And they thought they're going down. And they, the Bible said earlier, they saw him. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever saw something that really wasn't what you thought it was? Oh, could I not go on a little hunt right there? I saw some stuff, and it wasn't what I thought I'd saw. But these men, Pastor Carl, I want you to know it said they saw him. And I want you to notice, but they looked right at him, and they saw him, and then they said they thought it was a spirit. They thought it was a ghost. They thought it was a phantom. I asked myself this question. How could they look right at him and see him and then say it's a spirit? I'll tell you why. They wasn't looking for him. Woo! Can I tell you, if you look for him, you'll find him. I don't care what's going on in your life. If you look for him, you can find him in the storm. You can find him in the stress. You can find him in the struggle. You can find him in the midst of it all. Would anybody agree? You are never alone in the storm. Now they saw him. Now I gotta go, because I've got about 2 hours worth of material. Some of y'all gonna quit me before I get done. But I am gonna give you something, and I want you to think about it. Fear, jot this down, fear will blind you. Brother John, fear will blind you. You realize I'm dealing with people today that won't sing in the choir because of fear that they don't really think they'll sound good or look good. And listen. I'm dealing with people that won't accept the Sunday school class because they're afraid they'll be rejected. I'm dealing with people that won't tithe in the offering basket because they're afraid they won't be able to pay their bills. Look up here. If you give God the 10% and you bless with the tithe and offering, ladies and gentlemen, he'll open up the windows of heaven and you won't have room enough to receive. God will be faithful to you. I'm telling you, I'm dealing with people that won't preach because they're afraid they'll fail. Fear is a bondage. Fear will blind you. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
Let me give you two more quick facts about fear, and I'll move. Fear is barren. Let me put the jelly on the bottom shelf. There's no fruit with fear. There is no fruit with fear. Now, you're going to look at me. I'm going to give you the last one and I'm going to go. Fear is blinding. Fear is bondage. Fear is barren. Here's one more. Fear is boring. Y'all didn't hear me. You realize I'm preaching to people that are boring people. Y'all took that wrong. Boring people. They don't believe God can do anything. They don't believe he can heal. They don't believe he can save. They don't believe he can bring people down the aisle and pull them in an altar. Look up here. If I didn't believe God could save, if I didn't believe God could heal, if I didn't believe God could deliver, I'd stay home and eat my own ice cream and get my own pinto beans. But I'm going to tell you, baby, God is a healer. God is a deliverer. God still does miracles today. We walk by faith, not by sight. Jot this down, verse 27. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. I'll be brief. I promise you, I got great news. My last point is my shortest point. Boy, I saw you liven up right then. They were, because of fear, they didn't get out of the back of the boat. Pastor, they were faithless. They were faithless. Be of good cheer, as I. Be not afraid. They'd been anything like the most of the Free Will Baptists and Baptist folks I preach to on a weekly basis. One of them would have said, Brother Tom would have said this. We've got to vote whether or not we're going to let you get out of the boat. I'm trying to stay really, really good and sweet right here. One of the guys on the finance committee would have said this. I don't know if we've got enough money for you to get out of the boat. And one of them would have said, I got to get off this. I can tell it's not, I can tell it's not going over as good as I'd hoped. And Brother John, I'll put it like this. Dr. Luke says, Peter, you might ought to get a second opinion. I'm not sure it's Jesus. Judas, everybody look up here. Judas is taking bets if Peter will make it or not. Thomas is saying, I doubt we will ever see him again. Some of y'all need to jot this down, I'm telling you. Peter's own brother says, listen, Peter, you're a fisherman, not a fish. Now, Mom, I'm going to preach where we are. Brother Tom, if you're willing to take a step of faith and get on the water and walk toward Jesus, you'll find 11 other men that will tell you how to do it. Amen. And Brother Carl, they've never took a step on the water.
Amen. If I was you,
everybody look up here. When I started in evangelism, Brother Ernie, this is what they told me. You will starve to death. Look up here. Do I look hungry? I had a double stack tonight before I got here. Hey, you listen to me. They told me this, Brother Carl. They said you don't have a big enough last name. You're not well enough known and nobody knows you. Hey, look up here. I was in the ministry, Brother Bill, for 8, 9, 10 years before I even got a business card. But do you know what the funny thing was? They still called me. They still booked me. You know why? Because it's not a card. It's not anything like that. God is the keeper of my calendar. God is the orchestrator of my life, and he can handle what's going on. But when you take a step and walk toward God and take a step of faith and stretch your faith for Jesus Christ, somebody will tell you how to do it. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
Now I am already on point number 3. Brother Derek, who needs to let go and let God? those who are struggling in a storm, those who are sitting in the back of the boat. If you don't mind, pull up verse 30 for me. If you don't mind, pull up verse 30, of Matthew 4. There it is. But when he saw the wind, leave that there for a moment, because I'm going to preach that verse. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Somebody say beginning to sink. You know, I've been in the water a few times. I've never begun to sink. I just go right to the bottom. But Peter was walking on the water and beginning to sink. He cried, note this, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Brother Frank, here's my final point. Derek Stenton, who needs to let go and let God? Lastly, if you're sinking in sin, you need to let go and let God. Brother Carl, I do recognize, I will tell you people that I do know that Peter was not a lost man. I do know that. But I do believe, Pastor, that the application is to a lost man. Because if you're not saved, look up here, you are sinking in sin. If your name is not written in the book of life, you are a drowning victim. And sin is eating you alive on the inside. And you listen to me. You are a future drowning victim. But Brother Derek, I don't go to the lake. I don't go to the river. I don't go to the ocean. Look over. I'm not talking about the ocean. I'm not talking about the lake. I'm talking about if you continue your lifestyle, you are going to die and go to hell. Now, hold up. I'm going to give you some hope. The old timer that taught me to preach, he said this, Brother Carl. He said, "I want you to preach it straight and I want you to preach it right." But he said, when you get to the end of the message, he said, give them some hope. Now you realize I've heard some preaching that they preached the whole message and never gave you an ounce of hope. Can I go ahead and tell you, I'm glad there's hope tonight. You might be helpless. You might be sinking. You might be going down. But there's still hope. There's a God that can reach you where you are. Here's the sermon. I'm not there. I'm almost. Brother Derek, lost people, what do they need? They need a life preserver. Brother Mike, they need a lifeguard. The lifeguard is not very far from you. Look at that line. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried. Brother Phil saying, "Lord, save me." Now I want you to think what he said. "Lord, save me." He affirmed him as Lord. He gave him lordship. Brother Tom, he did not, Pastor Carl, he did not cry, "Church, save me." He did not say, "Baptism, save me." He did not cry, "Preacher, save me." He said, "Lord, save me. I'm about to get blessed. I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Now safe am I." Hallelujah. If you're going to be saved tonight, you got to go through the Lord. If you're going to be born again, you got to put your faith in what the Lord did on that hill. Brother Charles, here's the close of my message. The young man was the best diver on his diving team. He had a young man on the diving team that was a radiant believer, young, born again believer that loved God. And the young diver told to the experienced diver that had ambitions of being the diver of the year and winning the national championship. The young radiant believer would tell that experienced diver, he would say, Boy, you need to be saved. Have you ever been born again? You got to give your life to Jesus Christ. One night he decided, Brother John, I'm going to go to the pool. I'm going to swim this off. I'm going to get off. I'm going to get my mind on something else. He couldn't get his mind off that young believer telling him he needed to be saved. He walks into the pool area and walks up there, and he's on the edge. He's about to dive in, and he did not even turn on the lights. And he done like this, Brother Carl. He puts out his arms like this. And the way the moon was shining, and his arms was outstretched, and made a silhouette of a cross, the shadow of a cross. And he remembered what that young believer told him. He took one step back and he bowed his head and he said, God, he said, I'm a lost man and I'm on my way to hell. He said, this young boy tells me I need to be born again. I don't have no fancy words and I don't know exactly what I need to do, but Lord, would you save me? God, would you be Lord of my life? Hey, and that boy's up there praying and praying through to salvation. Meanwhile, the janitor walks in. And he sees this young boy up on the platform really high about to dive in. And he said, don't dive. Don't jump. We've drained the pool. There's no water in the pool. The young boy began to shake. Tears filled his eyes and plowed furrows down his face. And he said, the cross. He said, the cross saved me. Can I go ahead and tell you, if you're going to get saved tonight, honey, you got to go to Calvary. You got to go to Calvary. To be born again, you got to go to Calvary. Do you agree with that? Shout amen.
Amen.
Derek Stinnett, who do you believe needs to let go and let God? Those who are struggling in a storm. Those who are sitting, everybody listen, those who are sitting in the back of the boat. You need to let go and let God. If you're sinking in sin, you need to let go and let God.